And we are back with episode 22, part 1. I left in a fair amount of pregame table talk again, so those of you wishing to get right into the story can start at the 25-minute, 42-second mark. We have no new reviews or comments to report, so if you are listening and have not left us a review on iTunes or sent us a comment at steamsteelmurder@gmail.com, we would love to hear from you. Our group has a few other games being recorded by different GMs. We haven't added them to the feed yet, but if you check out the obsidianportal.com website and look up Steam Steel Murder, you'll find much more information on this game and others that we play, along with a community forum link and show notes. Now, let's get on with the show, episode 22, part 1.
Oh yes, Bert, I've taken my new aspect, Noblesse Oblige.
Nice. So you take the family's royalty in action as well as in name.
Well, I was going to come up with some really bad family motto, but Latin is just such a horrible thing to work with. So
Nice.
You can always throw Ardua in there. That's always a nice, or Prima Nocte.
That's more bishop style, eh? If you had any royalty to him.
Yes, it is.
No, the motto I usually have for my characters, if I have them with a Latin motto, is veneratio in nix. But it's technically not true Latin. It's pig Latin because it's not got the correct form to it. But.
So how am I coming through? Loud, soft, just fine?
Loud and clear.
Okay, very good. Some of the recordings I've had to do more level adjustments to lately, so you guys sound pretty good to me, but...
Sorry about inflicting that on you, Nick.
What's that?
Something we were doing off the side. Don't worry about that.
So we're playing again next week, Bert?
Okay, here's the deal with what's going on. I have my 20th anniversary for high school the weekend of the 25th, 26th, which would, you know, if we play today, we would normally play again on that weekend, which I can't do. So the options are we play a week earlier next week so that I have that 25th, 26th off, and then play again the weekend after the 25th, 26th. Although I saw that you had some scheduling problems with that, Jamin?
In October.
What's that?
October the 20-whatever.
Oh, okay. So if we do next week, the 18th, and then the next game after that will be the 2nd, that works for people?
Yeah.
I'm going to be moving on the 18th. I'll probably be able to get online, though.
Okay. I mean, if not, though, I mean, is everybody okay with the 2 weeks... are a one-off, one-on, one-off being that schedule. Basically, it's starting next week on the 18th. It's going to be the one-off, one-off, one-on, one-off starting the 18th. So the 18th, the 2nd, etc. I know you have a schedule change there, Nick. I just wanted to make sure that is working.
Shoot. I'll actually probably have to change something around in my schedule, but I'll see if I can do it.
Well, just tell me what works better, because I mean, we can certainly not do the 18th and then do it start again on the 2nd and have that start as well, you know, whichever way it works out. I mean, I'd rather not have to lose a player if I can shift which is the day off, you know.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not gonna get into work till Monday, so I'm pretty sure that was the schedule I was anticipating, but I'm not, I don't know exactly right now. So, because I don't have my schedule, schedule in front of me.
I will leave it as it stated in the forums then for now, the 18th, the 2nd are the next two games. And of course, as long as that's not in direct conflict to anyone else, I mean, if you miss a game here and there, no big deal. I mean, we can always fill in with someone. But if it's starting to be in direct conflict to something you have, let me know.
So waiting on Abel.
Yeah, I'd put down start time at 7:30. I just wanted to get the chat that we usually do ahead of time out of the way so we can start closer to time.
Am I coming through all right, guys?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, standard dice roll, I assume, Bert?
Yeah, I have map tools working, but I don't have anything worked up for maps for this, so not a lot of point in it.
What should I put for my new aspect? I wanted something different from Lady Killer.
Not in the face!
Well, what sorry, now I've got Simpsons and the Eagle.
Right. Must think.
Well, I fell back on cliches, so...
Oh, something I wanted to go over real quick. Nick asked me this after the last game, why the social conflict was abbreviated, like why the guy wasn't doing the attack, defense, etc. I've abbreviated that system as per what's in the wiki, which we don't have to do it that way. I just find it's kind of silly to do the, you know, you attack, he defends, he attacks, you defend route. Instead, what I've been doing is, let's say two people are going at it with, you know, fist. You both make your fighting rolls. The person who makes it better than the other inflicts damage instead of it being fight, dodge sort of thing.
Yeah.
And if you want to take full defensive and use dodge instead of fight, you can do that and get two extra levels for doing a full defense. Or if you choose to go on a full attack, your attack doesn't reduce any of the damage they do to you. So, like, let's say you roll a 4 and they roll a 3. Okay, you do your full 4 points of attack plus 2 for a full attack, but they still get your 3 in because you're completely ignoring trying to defend yourself.
That makes sense.
Right. So in the social conflict that happened, that's kind of what was going on, is Drina was doing her social conflict and he was doing his, and just the person with the better argument who had, you know, the larger role just got one over on the other person.
It's time to run. That could work.
Now, the benefit of this is that you don't have to have a specific skill to necessarily defend against or dodge. Like, for instance, if you had a fist skill but you have no ability to dodge, well, your fist skill can replace some of that dodging because your puissance and being able to fight is allowing you to dodge some. And
I think the rules say you use fight as a defense anyway.
Mm-hmm. But at any rate, that's what I've been doing just to make things go a little faster.
Yeah, and I was unsure about that. I'm fine with that. I just was a little unsure on what was happening exactly. Mm-hmm. So now I have a better idea. Now, as far as that goes, that will go for social and physical. That will just go for conflicts in general.
Yeah, just all conflicts in general. But I like about it is it allows you more leeway in what skill you're actually using. Like if you're having a conflict and you're using you're using your discipline and it as your argument, like, you know, I'm this kind of person, you're not going to change my ways, that actually acts as your defense as well as your attack, so you don't also have to have the, you know, the other skill to defend with.
Also, Bert, I'm happy to say I finally found a free good working recorder that works on Windows.
What'd you find?
It's a Skype recorder. It's literally it was called Skype recorder. I typed it in Skype recorder free and it was like the third or fourth one down.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm using a Linux box now and they've got one for Linux that's free that works really well.
Yeah, I just need to make sure I set it for not for stereo, otherwise you get
twice the
me in one voice. Mm-hmm. Me in one voice and me in one side and the group or everyone else in the other.
Which is actually useful if you do a lot of editing to the sound files, because then if you're coming in too low or they're coming in too low, you can change it before you mix it down to mono.
Nope, don't need to.
Luckily, you, sir, I'm not sure whether I'd not curse you or praise you for your acting capabilities when it comes to lying, and then lying about lying. Then lying on top of that lie.
Yeah, let's just say I fool my player into thinking that something's going to come up, then make him think that it's not going to come up, and then when it actually does come up, like, oh.
Yes.
You are recording your sessions now and getting them out? Notice the last one up on the HE boards.
Yeah. This last one's going to come up once I actually move it to my other computer and edit out the a little bit of extra on the beginning and then one silent spot in the middle.
You want me to add you to the SSM feed? Because I'm doing like stuff, the other things the group does as well.
Oh, cool. Then add it. I have the links on the HC website. This will get more people so we can become more famous.
You know, it might be like a separate feed with just mixed stuff on it. Like I put out Dance in the Blood, which was a playtest. I've got a few more that I'm going to start putting out as well.
That'd be awesome.
How's it going, Abel?
Oh, let's see if he comes in Cyborg. Yes, we have Cyborg.
Yep. That's what I was going for.
Well, actually, you see what happened was Drina, she talked to, she convinced him to join us, but he said, the only way I will join you is if you become like me, a cyborg.
Assimilate.
I was thinking it's probably actually going to be, she's trying to talk through her new metal suit. What was it, Steel Sally?
Yeah.
It's still cyborging.
Yes, yeah, still cyborg. Full on cyborg.
We don't even understand you. It's all ones and zeros. Well, I make sure to keep spending my points one at a time, even though I always make sure to put effective versus bought. I have to buy it every week. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I can't improve my pyramid. Eventually, I will have a million crafting skills at level one.
Awesome. Roland Bishop, the master of basket weaving. And
underwater basket weaving.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to just have all these level one craft skills, and then everything else is going to be, like, good. It's be like, yeah, I know how to craft baskets. What do you need me to do? First, I'm going
to
start with
went to night school.
First, you start with the practical, then you start with the completely impractical, then you start moving on to the semi-practical, and then you just get onto the ridiculous, like, craft
armored supersonic baskets.
Floral arrangements.
Craft, oh, no, no. Craft screen door for submarines.
Ah. Oh,
wow.
Okay, now you're a hornet.
Yeah, that is not coming through, April.
Yeah. Dot, dot, dash, dot, dot.
No, no, dash, dash, dot, dot, dot. Or is it dash, 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 dot, 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 dash, 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 or is it reversed?
I have no idea.
I think he was ordering a pizza in Morse.
No, I'm trying to remember. SOS, is it dash, is it three dashes, three dots, three dashes, or is it the other way around?
I don't think it was that simple. I think it was dot, dot, dash, dot, dot.
No,
dash.
No, no. SOS is actually just, it's 3, 3, and 3. It really is that simple. Yeah. I just can't remember which
It's been ages since I've done it.
I think it's long, 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 short, 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 long, long, long.
But can you do it in semaphores?
What?
Semaphores, the flag waving code.
Yes.
Oh God!
Are we talking the two paddle arms semaphore? Are we talking the semaphore which ships use, whereby they have long strings of flags?
What's that last one? I don't know. I think you hung up his laundry.
I don't see this. Where the heck is this? I don't recognize this symbol. When the heck did they add hearts on a white background to the list?
Paisley. Gotta go with the Paisley.
Yeah.
So how is everybody?
I was right. It was dot, dot. I was wrong. It was dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. I was off. Damn it. I wasn't sure which one it was.
See, now, if you were lost and needing help, someone would think you were typing out, okay, I'm fine.
O-S-O? Yes, that means okay.
No, I never understood.
I still can't figure out how they tell, like, the slight difference for a different letter. And then
lots
word
of training. Lots of training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They get really good at it.
I don't even see code anymore. All I see is blonde, brunette, redhead.
Oh, dear gods. you're not doing Matrix references, are you?
Yes, he is.
Yes, yes, I am. That movie was freaking awesome.
The first one was, yes, I will grant you that. The one was great.
Freaking awesome? Not just regular awesome, but freaking awesome?
It's another magnitude beyond awesome, you see.
Yeah, I think freaking awesome is also selling it short to an extent. But then they got into the whole strange thing whereby he's still somehow tapped into the Matrix when he's in the real world.
That's because he was in the Matrix. It's all the Matrix.
No, it was just... it was referencing the fact that he was indeed outside the... You know, he was the first human who was outside the cave.
Okay, so somehow that gives him the ability to make the machines explode in the real world.
Yes, it's...
It's magic. Move
that's
on.
Right. That's right.
No, it wasn't. Nah.
A wizard did it.
I could explain it, but it's just not.
You guys seen the new?
It's not worth it.
The new movie. I've forgotten what it's called, but it's being compared as The Matrix Done Right.
Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Inception is using It's using completely different philosophical and metaphysical grounds, and it's going a unique and interestingly new place.
Ah, but how is it as a movie?
Straightforward. Great, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really a lot of complexity to it, to say.
Depends on who you're asking. I mean, I've went to see it with about 3 or 4 different people, and it seems the older you are, the harder it is for you to grasp the movie.
There, that is my color, foam green.
Oh, can I get a link to the dice? I always forget it.
Catchyourhair.com/dice roller.
I always lose my hair.
So long as you don't, you know, drift off during the movie or go and do something else, the Inception's very straightforward.
That's not a nice roll. How about this roll?
It's not nearly as wonky as I thought the Matrix was. It's extremely straightforward.
It was also very entertaining.
Yeah, extremely entertaining.
Now, I find a lot of movies, when they're trying to be complicated, just resort to, we are going to throw this into the mix randomly. And that annoys me to no end.
No, the Inception is basically a heist movie. And so long as you come at it from that standpoint.
How do you enter different colors into this damn thing anyway?
You need the RGB code in hex.
I've tried to put the code in and hex doesn't like it.
Go back to the beginning. I find that it usually has a bunch of tabs right at the start.
I like to just stick with glass. It makes life for me easier.
Did you also, on the pull-down menu of colors, choose one that says RGB code? It opens up a box. Okay, and it's not letting you do it, huh?
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
There's some stuff in the paste I didn't see.
Yeah. Currently... Wow, I have a lot of average skills. I need to start raising them so I can finally get my resources up.
I've only raised two skills this entire game.
I've been buying, and there's the effective level versus the real level.
I noticed a lot of people have experienced. Is that just for character creation, or do you need experience to raise beyond great? I've noticed a couple of people have the stunt experience.
Oh, it just gives you.
Oh, no. That gives you bonus at the beginning. Yeah. That gives you just bonus equity to spend on
it
skills.
It also assumes that it means you're starting at an older age as well.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking I thought I might have to have that to go into beyond great. But
no. Only at the very beginning. If you have experienced at the very beginning, you can get a skill at. Superb at the very beginning, whereas normally
everyone else has to wait till after you started playing.
Right.
There's no other limit on that.
Well, and then we have to get stopped at epic. You won't let us go to legendary.
That's right.
I can only be epic with my firearms and make legendary shots and beyond legendary because your thing doesn't go any further. I have to just list a number.
No, that is so cap. There's nothing beyond legendary, so don't waste your points.
So on the 30 XP, if we've had, say, 3 sessions in like a day or two, e.g., this whole island thing. Can we spend 3 points when we can get to train up then, or can we still only spend 1 point in the week, assuming the discipline thing is allowed?
That just went right over my head. You're asking if you're already over 30 points or if you're under
30
points?
Yeah, once we're over 30. Once we're over 30.
Yeah.
And we only spend, let's spend 1 point per session. Do we then need 3 weeks in which to train up one skill, or can we, if we've got three sessions in all?
It's just 1 week for the group. That's how I've been doing it. I don't think he's that big of a jerk.
Yeah, just 1 week. It's, yeah.
It's just that you basically, the way I keep track of it is I put my 1 point in and I say, here's the effective level, because I have it at the untrained level, and then the trained level it's going to be.
Yeah, don't worry about effective level. I'll just wait till I can actually spend the point.
I spend it so I can keep track of it, so I make sure I have my points being spent, so when I get my refresh. I have a lot of refresh now.
Gives you an idea of how your character is spending the week, too. If you've already kind of put the point there, you kind of know you've been doing this for the last week.
Yep.
it's been about 3 days on the island now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
No, we've been here 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours.
Oh, this is the second. Yeah, well, no.
This is the second day.
One of you got here a day before the other person, so it's 3 days.
Okay, so he's been here 2 days.
Yeah.
That's why I was a bit annoyed by your, the other guys, the bad guys have been doing stuff. We haven't had time to do anything yet. If you want to speed things along with debating, da-da-da. Your enemies are plotting and planning as the clock tick, tick, tick away. They haven't had time to tick, tick away. We've had 24 hours so far.
Of course you do, because when you have player arguments, time is compressed. Every minute that you argue is like a day in the, you know.
Also, we're bickering like all
10 seconds remaining till core implosion. 3 minutes later.
You see the sun rising and falling behind you as you continue to argue.
I say we cut the red wire. No, the blue wire. The red wire. The blue wire. It's always the green wire.
My watch says it's been 10 minutes since we started this argument.
Really? Then that means this bomb is a dud. It hasn't exploded. Yay!
Well, no, it's still counting down. It's just counting down really, really slowly.
Hollywood time.
Oh, no, that means that the bomb's already been taken care of. No, the bomb's already been taken care of. It'll stop at 1 second.
No, have you seen the list on how to be a master criminal? If you set a bomb, super, always let it to blow up in 5 minutes instead of zero.
I like the evil overlord list.
Yes.
Yes.
Always run your plan by a 5-year-old. If he finds flaws in it, don't do it.
The problem is, a 5-year-old keeps on saying it. The problem is that it doesn't have elephants in it or jet planes.
Planes carrying elephants. Brilliant! All right.
Now I have my one
in some water, and we will hopefully see Abel in a moment.
Yeah, and another thing is, make sure your guards, no matter how glitchy your security system is, make sure the guards treat every camera that goes out or any guard who misses as a full emergency. Also, make sure your guards work pairs of twos and actually count on the radio. Hey, one of our guys is missing.
Yeah.
Hello?
You watch him.
You can't actually do that in real life.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. Hooray.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Sorry. Bird skull. Yes.
But have you watched how it should have ended? Their series of flash animations.
Some of them.
Watch what now?
Which one?
There's how it should have ended with. I think it was the Spider-Man one they did with. We're reading some strange mass readings inside the core of our device. Oh, it's probably just a bird. I know. I've got an idea. Why don't you actually stop the experiment, open the doors, and see that it makes sure it is just a bird before you turn on the nuclear reactor? Yeah. And of course, saying
they make the same joke in the riff of it as well.
Right. Oh, like the beginning of Half-Life, you know. The chances of a resonance cascade failure are astronomical.
It's a resonance cascade failure. Why don't you check
before I put on the Devo suit and go into the highly radioactive test chamber? Why don't you check to make sure
Yes.
That's a safeguard. Because best case scenario, I'm coming out of here sterile.
Oh, because we actually used to have a science teacher who threatened us with radioactive materials.
Alpha, beta, or gamma radioactive materials?
I can't remember which one. It was one of the low-intensity radioactive metals, and it's the ones which are legally allowed to carry, but you still have to keep it in a lead-lined box. So the worst-case scenario would be that we were sterile, and she used to threaten all her male pupils with sterility.
See, in the USA, that would never fly.
Yeah, you would lose your job.
There, yeah.
No, no, you just say it was approved of by the Bible, and you'd be fine.
Right, the Bible
the devil
said,
made me do it.
Unfortunately, the scripture seems a little silent on the subject of radioactivity.
So didn't you read the Spider-Man Bible? It'll turn you into a superhero.
No, no, no. She just needs to approach it as a new form of contraception, and everything will be fine. All right. Seems like we have Abel on board and not sounding like a cyborg. At least not much like one. Are you there, Abel?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Maybe he has a cyborg brain and he's finally figured out how to speak English, and it's taken a little bit of his time for his mind to convert what you're saying.
My God, it's the prototype for Ghost in the Shell.
Okay, good. That's where I'm at.
You having computer problems there?
No. I for some reason, sometimes when I plug in this microphone, I do need to reboot the computer. Either there's too many USB devices on here already, or I don't know. But
okay. Oh, you sound fine now. Okay, let's see. Last time we left off, we have people screaming from behind a secret door in a library shelf. No, we're not on Map Tools, Abel. I'm just using the catcher here for right now. I will start using Map Tools again, maybe next episode. I didn't bother to make any maps for this one, so.
Okay.
Last time.
Yes. So once again, we are giving the plug to Catch Your Hair Dice Roller. Wonderful. Nice.
Catch your hair. Don't let the rabbit get away.
Hairs aren't rabbits.
I can pretend they are.
We also left Mr. Bishop with knee to the groin. And... apparently someone wishing him a hearty hello from Harris. And Ms. Ehrbauer has just convinced the reigning engineering genius, Kevin Allard, that perhaps his island has been invaded by forces he cannot control. And
I'm trying to remember, where was everyone? Were the three guys together and then Gina by herself and I by myself?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just making sure them three were together. All right. Or reconvened. So I remember one guy had the glider.
We really need to call up that submarine sometime soon.
Mm. Oh, and Nick, yeah, unfortunately I did not get all both parts of the episode posted before today. I just got the first half. But if you ever want to refresh, I believe Jameis puts it up on his blog site, the unedited full.
Yeah, but his isn't on my iTunes, so.
I don't do iTunes.
Yeah.
iTunes? What's this iTunes thing you speak so,
of? Your future overlord, that's what it is.
Yes, yes it is.
All hail Apple, the evilest company of one of the evilest companies of them all.
And don't you forget it.
Well, Google's up there too.
So who are you
Google
start
it,
with
they
tonight,
promised
right?
Just not to be nasty.
We're gonna go all with right. Ian the Roaring Guy.
Alright, so I'll start then. So having gotten our friend on board, I ask him, so is there anyone on the island that you know you can trust?
Well, my head of security has been with me a long time. We're good friends. And, of course, my wife and I would like to believe my entire staff. They were all handpicked as people that were not only at the top of their professions, but good personal friends of mine.
So, let's see. So you say there are people over here that you picked up on your own?
Yes. All of my personal staff here are people that I've met through various associations and have created friendships with. Mr. Ward, our security chief in general, we'd have the chance to serve together and have known each other for quite a while. Now, the docks... my company was in charge of hiring the workers there. Of course, I know all the foremen. But admittedly, I don't know every single crewman that works there. Same can be said for the airfield. But Mr. Ward, my security chief, of course, is on top of that.
Right. Let's assume for a second that the normal security procedures have been compromised somehow. Right? Okay. Is there anybody say that you know outside of that you brought on board outside of like the normal, you know, security examination procedures?
Well, everything that happens on the island here is within my domain. Of course, the Medici family are our sponsors, and the Italian government, of course. But the workings of this island are not something that's really part of their concern. Essentially, all they need to know is how my different projects are coming along, and really that's all they ask of me. They don't have any direct control over the running of this island. And as for anyone else, as you can see, we have invited guests here. It is somewhat of a vacation spot. We do allow people to roam about. And by the way, you're in his, you know, secret private laboratory beneath the...
Right.
Of course, my personal labs here, only a select people know of this. The security chief, of course, my wife and our daughter, and no one else.
Where is his daughter, by the way?
She's probably, I mean, she was in on the conversation to begin with, but she's not down here now with you.
Start.
You're having the private conversation in his secluded laboratory, and his death robot standing by in case you happen to be a spy.
Spy check.
Yeah, if anybody wants to interrupt at a dramatically appropriate moment, be my guest. All right. Let's just think over the last meetings you had, right, with Mr. Ward. Is there anything that he's brought up as a concern over the last year or so consistently?
The shipyards. He often talks about how we're perhaps too lenient on who we allow in the shipyards, and he's apparently found contraband in some of the vessels that have stopped there. Though, since a lot of people stop here for emergency aid, we don't typically search their vessels, of course. It's only when they're here for extended times. But he had mentioned that it would be very easy for people to come ashore that way. Of course, there is a detention facility there and something of a hotel for them to stay if they need. There's no real reason for them to be on the rest of the island, nor are they permitted to, but there's also not a lot keeping them out. We do, of course, have patrols of the island on horseback, and we do aerial flybys now and then.
Gotcha. Now, I guess when messages come into the island, is there some kind of central office that they go to?
Well, there's different ways. Of course, at the docks, there's a small receiver there that we can get international broadcasts on. The manor proper, of course, has a radio line. And of course, down here, I've got my own private receiver.
Okay. Oh, you... Now, the receiver here, who uses that to get in touch with you?
Well, my sponsors, friends back in Italy.
Uh-huh.
It's a very private number. Very few know it. The manor house, of course, is a matter of international record. Anyone can get that number.
Okay. So, wait,
The manor house being the old house?
The manor house is the guest house that everyone's staying in.
Oh, right. I thought the manor house was the other name for the place we were at.
That makes sense. So let's...
Night watch. Oh, I refuse the night watch. Never mind.
So this transceiver, it's not... There's no other relay to it anywhere? Like, you operate it yourself? There's no operator switch that it...
Oh, no. It's one of my own special inventions. As you might have noticed flying over, the island itself has no radio tower.
That's right. And... Wait, so... it doesn't work by a radio?
It does, but you see, one of my inventions, and he kind of starts walking off down a corridor waiting for you to come.
Yes, I follow.
And he takes you into what looks like a utility closet. He opens it up, and the very front part of it is like a closet. It's got the cement brickwork, and there's a little sink there. But it continues on into the corridor beyond. It looks like it's just carved out of the mountainside with no finishing done. So it's like raw, mountainside. And there is a 1-foot-thick band of a copper amalgam, looks like copper and some other metal that have been bonded together in a cable that starts on the wall and just goes off into the distance. And he says, this is one of my first inventions. This radio tower is perhaps one of the most powerful in the world. It is set up flat instead of vertical, like most antennas are, and it encircles the entire island beneath the bedrock. It's capable of producing an amazing amount of power and distance. Only one in existence that I know of.
I see. And there's no way anybody else could use this antenna, without your knowing it?
Well, as far as my knowledge, no one else knows about it.
Nobody else? Not even your security chief? Or
he knows that there is a way for us to receive and send out radio communications from the island. He's not a very technical man, though, so has never asked me as to why there is not a very large tower about. Of course, we have the small one by the docks. I would assume it's his guess that that's what's being used. Now, as far as the tower, as far as this radio receiver itself, of course, it has taps going to the main manor house above. That's how it receives its radio transmissions, of course. The docks have access to it, and so do the airfield. But my own private number, of course.
All right, let's entertain for a second the idea that there is some party or parties on the island that are operating without wanting you to know that they're here. And they have some kind of apparatus set up. Right, how would we detect that?
Apparatus doing what? He's kind of looking at you.
All right. Well, you said there's no radio antennas on the island, right?
Except
now, let's assume we're dealing with criminals. People who know how to set up camps quickly and break them down quickly to avoid detection. They could set up a small, it wouldn't be that difficult. If you had a dozen men and somebody who knew what they were doing and the right equipment, you could set up a radio tower, a decent one, in a couple of hours and break it down faster than that.
That is possible. As I said, we do have horse-mounted security through the island, and we do flybys. No such thing has been seen to date. Now, however, he does scratch his chin. It wouldn't be implausible that someone could tap into this radio antenna if they knew it were around. As I said, there are connections in the manor house and a few other places about the island. But I do monitor the radio traffic, and he takes you into another part of his lab where he's got like an oscilloscope set up. And it's like, and as you can see, turns it on. These are the normal radio bands of transmission and reception. This one, he points out on the screen currently, it looks like someone is listening to a radio show in the manor above right now. It's receive only, not transmitting. And as you can see, all the normal bands are free of radio chatter.
Right. All right.
Okay, go ahead and give me a repair roll there.
Yes, I was going to ask for something like this. And our password is SSM?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking gold, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that gives me a 3, but
okay. Well, with a 3, and you can decide to shoot that up if you want after I tell you just initially what you see. His oscilloscope is a pretty nice piece of hardware. The bands that he's showing you are a good portion of the display. It goes slightly above and slightly below the expected channels. You do, however, know that in the past adventures you've had, that you've come upon radio towers that broadcasted the much higher frequencies outside of normal band.
Mm-hmm.
Which he doesn't seem to be displaying, although it looks like it could.
Okay. I'll stick with that that result there. I'll say, alright, let's say somehow somebody got information about, you know, obviously, or even if they didn't have information, they know you're a smart man, you know what you're doing, and you want to maintain a certain amount of privacy. So let's say they're using radio signals that are far above or far below what you're likely to be monitoring. I'm going to take the oscilloscope and try to adjust it here to sweep the reception like way up and way down below where it is right now.
Okay. You actually know what they were broadcasting up at previously in the tower you found in the farmstead. Mm-hmm. Looks like his oscilloscope can get just to that bandwidth, the lower edges of it, but you should be able to catch some traffic there if there were something broadcasting. And as you sweep it up, sure enough, it looks like there is a pulse being broadcast at that. And this is at the upper limit of what his oscilloscope can reach for signal. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't completely cover the entirety of the band that you know they were broadcasting on. And what you're seeing on the screen is a pulse. It's not talk, but it is something that's being sent out, that's being broadcast. It's not in Morse, but it does seem to be a regular pulse. Mm-hmm. He looks at it and says, huh, well, that's certainly a very unconventional frequency, but what does it mean? Are you sure this just isn't some kind of interference from the sun, perhaps our atmosphere? It doesn't look like it's any kind of...
So, well, what we're getting now is not the whole signal, right?
It's not the whole upper band that you had found before, no. It's just the lower part of it. It doesn't look like this machine can go higher.
No problem. I'll drop a fate point and invoke for effect. I'll declare like, oh, I just happens I have the of Janie on the spot. I just happen to have a couple of small tools here with me. If you just give me a minute. Sure, I can. I'll just move where this wire is placed against the antenna here, and if I remove this transistor right here,
give me a repair roll.
Yeah, 4.
Okay. You're overloading the device. A little bit of sparks and from the back, but you're able to increase the bandwidth, and you can now see the whole spectrum of what you had found before, and there is a broadcast.
Right, so yeah, that's definitely some kind of traffic.
Hmm.
So now we just need to find a unit where we can listen and hear what that is.
He reaches over to you and turns a dial, and you hear now hear over a tiny speaker that's on the side of it. Ah! Sound of several people screaming.
You hear what, screaming?
And this is a good place to switch over to the group that is just...
Hey, Bert?
Yeah. You went really soft.
Bert, because you screamed so loudly and you probably have Skype on auto, it made you very quiet.
All right. Is that any better?
No.
Okay.
You're still very, very quiet.
Worse.
Hold on. Let me auto adjust here.
That was me thinking if they keep the signal on for about 5 minutes, then they're going to hear Gavin Marshall say, nope, this isn't it.
That would be hilarious. Oh, wait, no.
I'll be right back. I gotta go grab some while we're taking this short break.
I would just like to say, Roll Tide Roll, beating Penn State 14-0.
Seriously, I thought you were gonna do something more subtle than that.
Test.
Getting louder.
Any better?
Slightly.
Who, me? You thought I was gonna do something more subtle?
No. Yeah.
It turns out Bert's not a football fan, so.
Test. Any better?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Tell me if it starts creeping up and getting even louder. It may do that. I enjoy football. I'm just not a big fan of my local team.
So it doesn't matter that the Hokies went down to a second-rate nobody team. God.
No, you know, now you've got me, because now we've said on air that, you know, I live here and I don't like my local team. I'm going to get hate mail and bombs now. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I wonder what this machine does.
All right. So let's get back to Mr. Under the pseudonym of Jerry.
And Mr. Oh, it's Hundegard. Me and Elric are both at the same. Van Hundegard is both in the same place.
And me.
You're outside, though, if I remember right. You're being their eyes outside. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Of course, if you want to give me an alertness roll there, you may indeed hear the screams as they open the door.
Okay, I can do that. That's going to be 5.
Yeah, you hear the screams. With that high of a roll, you could even tell it's not your friends.
So, what's going on down there, guys?
Nothing of import. Just, we're about to investigate.
I think we should close the door.
Don't you wish to see what is down below, Mr. Marshall?
I prefer to close the door. I don't like the screaming.
We need to find out why they are screaming, though. If there is someone in trouble, it is our duty.
Suddenly, some of the screaming gets less loud, as it now seems like there are less voices screaming.
Yeah, excuse me if I take that as a sign for the worst.
Okay, can I blow a fate chip to actually have a decent torch around?
You know what? You don't have to blow a fate chip. As I've described, there being a lot of debris around and furniture debris. You could easily grab some moldy, sheets and wrap it around a piece of wood if you want. And I believe somebody there has a lighter.
The guy outside.
Who's come in. He's standing at the door saying, "What's going on?"
I'm not that unprofessional. I would
I'd have a lighter because I've got my standard stuff in my pockets. An archaeologist, damn it.
Sounds good. Yes, you can have a torch. You now hear the screaming seems to be getting a little closer to you, and you hear the sound of someone kind of fumbling around in the dark, sounding like they're coming towards you.
At the ready, Mr. Marshall?
I pick up something. I've got my tree branch at the ready.
I've got the borrowed knife. And advance.
All right, so you've lit a torch, and behind the bookcase, it looks like there is a tunnel leading down. It's been carved out of the stone, apparently of the mountainside here. There has been a safety rail or guide that's been bolted to the side of the rock wall, though, so there is something to hold on to, which is good because the footing beneath you seems to be a little damp and a little slimy.
Okay, so I'll keep watch out here then. I guess
that would be just fine.
All right.
There just seemed to be a good amount of airflow, though. It doesn't smell. It doesn't smell like you're descending into a dank tomb. It actually has. You can smell the sea in the air. Okay, who's going first? Two of you can stand side by side just barely to give you an idea of how wide it is. And the ceiling above you, it just clears your head. You don't quite have to crouch, but it is very close.
Well, Mr. Marshall, you have the longer reach. Unless you would prefer to hand me the stick and I give you the knife, then I think you should go first.
And I'll the torch. Onwards.
Well, to best use the makeshift staff, you should use two hands. So if you pass me the torch.
Right. I'm going forward cautiously, I perhaps don't want to be down here.
Okay. You can tell that it is slanting down. So you're descending into the ground. It's a subtle slant. It's not enough that you feel like you're going to. Your feet are going to just fall out from under you and you go sliding, screaming down the corridor or anything. The footing is a bit difficult with the help of the handrail, not impossible. And you come to a very sharp turn. And as you go around the turn, you see that there actually are dim lights stretching out ahead of you. And it looks like there's at least one, maybe two or three guys at the very far end that are, you can hear the screaming now and coming from these people as they're trying to come up towards you. They're fumbling around, smacking at their heads. One of them keeps looking behind them and running into things. The light that's provided is very, it's flickering. It's very low light. Your torch is actually providing more light than what the lights are down this corridor. So they are basically a good full room's length away from you. If you're going by game terms, they are one zone away.
They may be blind. I think they are more in stress than a threat.
They don't seem to have noticed you. Even the one, they're barreling in your direction. You're holding a light up that's brighter than the area they're coming from. But they're paying more attention to what's behind them or above them. Like one of them's even as he's moving forward, he's kind of ducking down, with his hands over his head, ducked down, running almost bent forward as he's trying to get through the debris in the room.
Let us try and help these people.
Is Marlo with us?
Marlo didn't follow you down. He made some speech about staying up here to watch the back.
Yep.
Right.
As the door closes behind you. No.
Well, that takes care of them.
Well, can you lead these people? Can you lead these people up to the surface, Mr. Marshall? And then we can, Mr. Marlowe can help you. First, we ought to see if we can calm them down.
Perhaps you should approach them first.
Yes, I'm going to walk up to them I'm going to put the knife away first, so no harmful tools, and I'm going to be making general shushing noises and reaching out towards the nearest one.
Okay. They're in what appears to be a complete panic. He doesn't so much acknowledge you're there other than you are an obstacle to him getting away from there. So he is trying to just basically bully past you, to rush past you, treating you as just, something in his way. And
he does seem to notice that Hundegaard is there, though. Yeah, so he can't see.
Yeah. Yes, he can see you. He just doesn't connect that you are another human being, or he doesn't seem to care. He's just acting as if you are something in his way that needs to be moved out of his way. And this is the guy in the lead who's kind of hunched over, hands over his head, bent forward, just trying to run out. So what do you wish to do? His action is to basically just rush past you and run up the corridor.
I think that might be not beneficial. I think my chances of knocking him out, though, are less likely. Yeah. It's a choice between either A, let him run by and then startle Mr. Marlowe, who will probably end up stabbing him, or B... or B, I try and knock him out. Exactly. Okay. I'm going to see if I can grapple him.
Okay. Sure. You make that roll, and he's basically going to make an athletics roll to try and just, rush past you.
I've got a neutral. What is this going off?
Brawling would be fighting. Any kind of hand-to-hand you have.
I don't have fighting. I've got might at one, but...
Might would help you hold on to him, but would not allow you to initiate it. I mean, you could, if you don't have fighting, you can use athletics to just kind of...
No, I actually have some athletics. I have athletics at 2, so that's a 2.
All right. He's dead even at 0. So what is your total?
I've got a 2.
All right. So what happens?
He's trying to barrel past, and just he goes by, and the guard wraps an arm around his waist and the other one around his midriff. And he's now close by trying to calm this man down. So more of an empathy thing.
Okay, he's still going to be trying to run past you. So you're going to be making might rolls to kind of hang on to him in each successive scene here.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but does he take any notice of me trying to talk to him?
He's babbling right now. He, at first, when you grab him, he... He just kind of starts shaking as if, no, batting his hands over his head. He's acknowledging you're there, but his eyes, pupils are really small. The eyes very large, bloodshot. He looks to be just terrorized. So what I'm going to allow you to do is if you make a might roll and can continue to hold on to him, you can go ahead and try to talk him down. But let me find out what Mr. Marshall is doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Hanging back, watching what's going on with a sense of panic rising.
There's still two more guys fumbling behind him. One of them is, you know, pretty close to running by your position. He also isn't particularly paying attention to you guys. Looks like he's just intent on barreling past. There's a third guy that has stopped in the middle of the room, and he's just, you know, he's screaming out, slapping his hands over his head, and then there's this like discharge in the air, like static, and you smell ozone, and you smell copper, and then he's just gone.
Out. Out. We get out now.
You know, can you lead the other one up to the surface?
Right, I can get out of the way. The other one's getting out of the way
yes,
for the moment.
Yes, I'm reading.
Yeah. If the other one's getting out of the way, I just let him get out of the way.
Damn. I failed that by one, so. Well, I only got.
So what's your total?
Yeah, he breaks free.
Your total
I got -1.
Yeah. Okay, he got an even zero, so he stumbles out of your grasp, and now he's like. He's going up the tunnel on all fours, staying really low and just kind of using his feet and his hands. He's not risen up after he's broken away from you and just kind of scuttling forward, screaming.
Mr. Marshall, please head up with these people and prevent Mr. Marshall from Mr. Marlowe from doing something horrible to them. I shall wait here for your return. And then we can continue exploring.
You may not want to stay here. One of them already seems to have been vaporized or something. I don't know what happened.
Yes. This is our duty to help these people, so we need to make sure that there is not something following them.
As you're talking, the second man has now come up to your position and is just kind of bowling past you. He just leapfrogs over the guy that's still on his hands and knees, and he's just screaming and running up the passageway.
Please head up before something bad happens to these people.
Yeah. I follow the ones that are screaming, calling out, Marlo, we're coming up, get out of the way.
All right, Marlo, you hear that, and you also hear the screaming of a couple of men getting louder as well, coming up the passage.
Do you want me to lock them in or just get out of their way?
Out of their, let us up at the moment.
Okay.
Keep them inside the place.
Okay.
If you can.
Then I will go up right beside the door, and as soon as one comes by, I'll grab a sturdy stick and thwack him.
Go for it.
This was what I was scared of.
Kneecap that son gun.
Yep. At least it's not a knife.
I expect it'll happen, but I don't want them running around the bushes, so that's why I told him to keep him in the house. So.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll see
they
what
can't
happens.
Run without knees. He needs to run.
Go ahead. Give me a fighting roll there.
In my case, that's weapons. Cause
yep. Right, you've got a club, so let's go for it.
That's going to be a 4.
Yeah, so he's had no idea this is coming, so he's not, you know. Yeah, thwack. Yeah, you actually, with a 4, you knock him out.
Excellent. Because that prevented...
Actually, you were
prevented the other guy, so I'm going to knock out the second guy
as well. It's your role. Go ahead and describe how you want to. But with a 4, actually, you can take spin on the next guy coming up and get a +2 against him.
Okay. As this guy is coming up, he's just running blindly and panickingly down the passageway. I give him a nice gentle tap on the back of his kneecap as he comes out. He collapses and hits his head against... one of the walls and goes out like a light and he is actually acting as a bit of a barrier for the next one to get by. So he's going to have to jump.
Okay. Next guy comes out. His eyes are still not seeming to be focused and sure terrors. He's screaming past you and
that's going to be a 3, but if I tag my spin, that's a 5.
Yep. Well, with a five, you will knock him out. Period. I mean, like, he will be unconscious. If you just take the 3, it'll knock him down.
No, I want him to be out.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
So I just rinse and repeat, and this one hits his head as well. They're down. I think they're...
Okay.
They're no longer screaming.
Mr. Marshall, please help them before he does something bad to them. I am going to explore further down here, if you do not mind.
Every time you guys say that, I'm for some reason getting an idea that Marlowe is like pulling out a knife, wanting to skin them alive or something.
No, scalping. Scalping. He's a scalp.
Well, you know.
This is the man who has been shot at twice by women now, isn't it?
Yes, they did collect scalps back in the Malaysian War, you know. It was how we proved how many of them we killed. Actually, it was the left ear, because, you know, ears are easier to carry.
Okay, I'm going to cut over to Mr. Bishop now.
Yay!
Got the screaming out of the way. Okay, so in the last scene,
time to spend a lot of chips.
She had taken your shirt and was doing nice things to you at first, and had pulled your shirt down so that it's over like your shoulders and arms. By the way, she has put an aspect on you, making it you tangled. right before she knees you, and says, "That's a little something from Harris." And we'll pick up there. So she's still on top of you after the kneeing and hasn't made another motion after she has told you that.
I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, do it then.
I'm going to try and throw her off of me.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Okay, and she's going to use her athletics to ride you like a bronco.
And I'm using fighting because I've dealt with stuff like this when you're...
mm-hmm.
Ooh! Okay,
she's going to have a 3, and she's going to tap the fact that you are tied up for her free tap and giving
okay.
a 5.
Okay, how much do I need to take her out?
Well, your point is to knock her off you. That's not going to take her off. You will simply get her off.
Okay. Then I have her off of me, because I got a 7.
Okay. Okay. She... Well, it's your... You're to the positive, so describe what happens.
She's kind of on me, kind of... I'm getting entangled, and I roll over and... do a little bit of a roll, and that knocks her off, and I kind of just like I kind of start rolling one way, roll the other, she loses her balances, falls off, and I'm free from her weight on me.
Okay, sounds good. She winks at you, blows you a kiss, and starts running away.
I fixed my shirt. And I say, "We can do that again anytime."
Okay, she's gotten she's gotten a little bit away from you, so that she's on a little bit of a high, like a small hill. She looks back at you, puts her hands on your hip, and says, "You coming or not?" And starts running.
I hate myself, but I start running.
Okay. Give me an athletics roll, unless you have anything that'll help you with running. And since you are exhausted from from your exertions before, I'm going to put a -2 penalty on you.
Good thing I have all these lovely, lovely points.
I think that's a chip worthy.
Yes.
Set of events.
Yes, you can take a chip for that.
Good, because I'll spend it immediately as I'm at 0 currently. No, -2. I'll use that chip for a reroll as damn you, Harris, is very obvious. It gives me a -1. Let's see if I can get another positive one. So I'll spend a chip on fight for your life. I'm fighting for my life because I need to know. Damn it, I need to fight for this. This is my life. Fighting Harris is my damn life.
Sure.
That puts me at a, let's see, I started at a -2, that puts me at a +1.
Okay.
Do I need?
So you're keeping her in sight, but she's pulling ahead of you. She does look back every now and then and just kind of winks at you.
Do I get a sense of where we're going?
You're starting to go off one of the running paths, Since you did take a day to kind of look around and you did see some maps, you think you're going down towards the shoreline on the back side of the island, like where you had decided a good place to drop your sub would be.
I'm making sure to pay, even in my frantic and exhausted state, I'm making sure to look around for other people that are going to jump me.
Okay. That's fine. You're basically doing a multiple action there. So go ahead and give me an alertness roll. And you're still running while you're doing this, but I'm going to allow this roll to stick for the chase as far as keeping it.
Wow.
Okay, you fail to see the gang of thugs running up behind you.
I'm going to... let's see, where is my alertness? Thankfully, I have Did You Hear That? So that puts me at still a 5.
Okay, very good. So you're still trailing behind her. It looks like she's actually keeping you at a distance, but is not running so hard, although you're sure she could.
Yeah.
She's keeping you in sight.
She's leading me on purpose. Mm-hmm. She's leading me to a trap.
Once you get into the denser forest, and you're definitely off a trail at this point, she's slowing down, and she kind of turns around behind you, sees you coming in, huffing and puffing, making all this noise. She puts a finger up to her lips as if to say, shh. She reaches it around behind her and pulls out what looks like a slim gun of some sort. She puts her finger up to her lips, does the hush sound to you, pulls the gun out, and keeps going forward, but now it looks like she's trying to do it quietly.
I know exactly what's going to... I hate because I know exactly what's going to happen.
Never say that to the GM.
Oh, I know exactly what's going to happen. This is stupid of me, and I'm going to go with what the GM is going to have happen. I'll follow her quietly.
Okay. Do you have any kind of ability in stealth?
1.
Go ahead and give me a roll.
Let's see if the dice hit me some more. 2.
Okay, with a 2, she looks behind you, nods her head as if to say you're doing an okay job, and she waits for you to get to where she is. She's kind of down on her stomach now, and she's edged forward so that she's on like a well-covered hill, and she's looking down so that you can see the bay, and she's kind of motioned you to get low and come down as well.
I'm not going to get right next to her. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move a little bit further away outside of arm's reach.
What you see below you is the cliff that she's on kind of goes down pretty sheer drop. It'd be pretty hard to climb down, you would think. But at the very bottom, it's like a reef of broken up pieces of basically the cliffside. And you can see the water's kind of rushing in and out through some underwater caverns, and you see a little submarine, tiny. It may hold one or two people, and it's the top of it's kind of translucent, like glass. It's got imperfections, so you can't quite see into it.
Yeah.
And all that you see is the top of it just breaking the surface of the water. And there's some guy in a wetsuit that's climbing out, and he's diving off the end. And it looks like he's going into one of the cliffs. And she scooches herself a little closer to you, and hands you over the thing that looks like a gun. And what it is, it's like it's a little miniature like spyglass, but it's got like a handle on it, and you kind of hold it up to like one of your eyes.
Yeah.
You get a better look at the submarine, and you see that there is still somebody inside, not including the guy that's just dove over the edge in the swimsuit. And she backs up off away from the cliff a little bit after you've gotten a look so that so she can't be seen again, and pats the ground next to her.
I give a small sigh and scooch closer. Making sure my groin is not directly in her direction.
Right. Well, she notices the maneuver and says, "That was from my father." And then she leans over and gives you a peck on your cheek and says, "That's from me."
What is her last name?
You get a chip bit.
She reaches out a hand and says, "Pleased to meet you. You know, you've made my father's life a living hell the last few months."
Same here.
I don't think you saw that coming.
No way in heck.
So she reaches down into her like the sports kind of clothing she has, and there's like a little baggy. Didn't notice it at first, but it looks like it's kind of a purse that's sewn into it, or like a little storage bin. And she pulls out a wallet that she hands over to you.
I look at the wallet, open the wallet.
Okay. So it's apparently with British Secret Service.
I nod.
We've known for some time that Stormhaven Island is being used as a broadcast center. And I was sent here to look into it, as I have some connections with the family. Of course, the family doesn't know my new career, and she tucks away the badge.
I nod, and keep quiet.
I understand through some sources in Metapol that you and your group are working on a very related or at least similar case. Do the words Nimrod or Albatross mean anything to you?
Yes, that's one of the things we were investigating.
How about Rathke?
Very similar. Something else we were investigating.
Good. Then I shouldn't have to tell you more.
But
are you rested? She kind of gives you that quirky smile again, as if to say, "I am so much better than you are at this."
Can I get a moment to just to make sure we have all the same details? Because we haven't gotten much information on Rathke other than his original name.
As you're talking, she's unloading some other small things that are secreted about her pants. A couple of really slim, they look like mountain climbing pitons. A bundle of very thin rope and some gloves. Go ahead. She continues to unpack.
What all do you know about Rathke? All we know is his original name and that he pretty much has gone underground after that and is one of the people who is funding some bad groups in this area.
Rathke is a person of note to our agency. He has been linked with a lot of, let's just say he's providing unique armaments to people we'd rather not have. I'm sure you're up on your politics, yes? You know about what's going on in Germany and the fragile condition the world peace is in at this time?
Unaware of how fragile it is, but I am aware of what's going on in Germany, thanks to one of the people in our group.
She actually looks at you kind of quizzically and says, I've got dossiers on everyone that's come to the island with you. I know you've worked with them on and off, but she kind of shrugs.
One of our people is former family. I believe he's no longer really in contact with his family as much.
She continues to look at you kind of puzzled and says, I'm sure I don't know what you mean, but... Have you rested? And she hands over a pair of the mountain climbing pitons and some rope to you with some gloves.
As rested as I'll never be. I knew I shouldn't have had that cake last night and all those years beforehand. And by the way, I was talking about Hundegaard.
Oh, Mr. Hundegaard, yes. His brother is quite the darling right now in Metapol, I understand. I hope your Hundegaard doesn't have his brother's manners or roaming hands.
Jesus.
She's attaching the climbing straps to some of the foliage, making sure they're on good and tight, slides on the gloves, and says, have you done this sort of thing before?
Not exactly like this. The last time I did any climbing, it was holding onto the edge of an airplane, making sure I don't fall off.
She kind of makes a little mew with her mouth. Says, oh, yeah, that'll do. Follow me. She takes the rope, puts it up between her legs, throws one end up over her shoulder, and kind of demonstrates how to rappel down the side of a mountain.
I'm going to pay attention very seriously, pray to whatever God is listening, and follow.
Okay, do you have any,
enough chips for this?
Do you have any specific skill in being able to climb? If not, it's just athletics.
It's just athletics.
Or not athletics, I'm sorry. Let's see. Yeah, athletics would work. I will give you a +2 since she actually showed you how to go about doing it.
Oh, God.
And really, you're just looking to get a non-negative number. Even a 0 works. You're just going to be inelegant about it.
Oh, okay. 4 with the +2.
Oh, you do really well then. Although the abrading rope as it burns past your already wounded crotch is not a pleasant feeling.
I've been beaten up worse in a fight.
Come to the end of the rope, and there's still some room between where the rope ends and where the water begins. And she just kind of pushes off from the side of the mountain and does this kind of backflip and then cleanly slides into the water that's about 8 feet below you.
You are so fast.
Maybe I should go for that. No, I'll.
You can simply let go and splash. If you're trying to do it quietly, just give me an athletics roll.
Okay, I'm trying to do it quietly. I can't tell. Yeah, 1.
You got a 1?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you don't belly splash. You do actually dive in heels first. You make a little wake, but not much of one.
Mm-hmm.
She floats there for a bit, and she has picked a place where you've actually you fell in to an area that has got some cover from where the sub is, and she swims a little bit to where you've got a good look at where the sub is kind of stationary in the water, and looks over to you and says, your dossier is pretty interesting, so who do you work for? The French? The English?
Myself and Tesla.
Whoa! Am I breaking up, guys?
Slightly.
Okay. I'm going to drop my call if you can call me back.
You're fine now.
I'm okay now?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like you for 5 seconds you start getting bad and then cleared up.
My internet. You keep going in and out of it. It's a little bit weird.
My internet connection may just have slowed or something. That will happen. Okay, so so she asks, so what are you? English? French? Who do you work for?
English. Currently, you should know who I'm employed by, right?
Well, she kind of laughs at it and says, of course, your dossier says that you do some work for the guilds, but I don't believe that. Which agency are you with? MI6?
Nope. I work for... I don't do any such. I work for Tesla on odd jobs.
Wow.
Oh, guild. She actually, her eyebrows go up. It's like, oh, you're one of Tesla's. She
seems no, to look at I...
with a bit more respect.
I go with it, even though I'm not one of his spots.
I hear you guys get some of the best training around. Well, it's I'm glad to have met you. She
your hand. I look at her and go, with the way Tesla, unfortunately for me, when I was hired by Tesla, it wasn't for, he didn't give me any training. He, for me, for some reason, he decided trial by fire.
Oh, okay. Well, the agency does that every once in a while to promising individuals. Maybe he's got something special in mind for you. Right, so she reaches down, and you don't know where the woman conceals all this because her clothing was, you know, fairly clingy. She pulls out a very thin boot knife, puts it between her teeth, and dives.
I looked up and say, whatever, God, please keep me alive. And when I find Tesla, I'm asking for some training. And I dive.
All right. The water here is pretty free from silt. There's not like a lot of loose soil, so it's actually you can see pretty well. And it seems like she's coming up to the submarine from the rear. The submarine is shaped so that it's got like a glass or a glass-like dome in front, but the back is solid. So she's coming in from the rear so that the guy that's still inside can't see her. And she'll occasionally raise, get some air, and go back down. Eventually, she gets to like the tail end of it. And it is a very small submarine. I mean, think about the size of a modern SUV. Pretty small. It's got two props in the back, and then, you know, it's got a fin that allows it to, you know, change course, etc. It doesn't look like the propeller blades are actually mechanically powered. It looks like it might be pedal powered. Like this is can't possibly have a lot of range to it.
Yep.
So she comes
up. Remind
up
me like, of the what our submarine originally looked like.
Oh no, this much is much more streamlined. The submarine that you guys found originally was just like a blocky, you know, it was very bulky and very, I'm not going to say slapped together, but looked industrial, right? Like a piece of machinery. This is very streamlined. It just doesn't look like it's made for a lot of distance. But she comes up behind it and takes the blade out of her mouth and starts sawing through a couple of lines that go to the propellers in the back. And she motions you to go around around to the other side and mimes you punching somebody in the face as she goes around the other side.
I'm confused, but I'll go around to the other side.
All right.
Okay, I'm still doing that.
Okay, assume you're trying to do this as quietly underwater as possible. Give me another athletics roll just to see how well you're able to swim over there without causing a lot of disturbance.
Two.
Okay, good enough. You come to the edge where the submarine is solid and just right where it starts to become the bubble of the glass. And you can see there is a guy sitting inside. He seems to be not paying a lot of attention. It looks like he may be reading something in his lap. You see there is an access hatch above where he is. So the bubble that he's in is actually flooded with water right now. Okay, so like it's you know, it's open to the water. You also notice there's a hatch below, like where his feet are as well.
Wait, the hatch is open?
Yes, the hatch above is opened. It's underwater, just slightly, like just like right at the waterline.
Oh, okay.
And okay, I'm gonna make him out because it's not perfect clear glass, but you can make out like the form of somebody sitting there, and he looks like he's reading something. At least that's what you would think from what you're seeing. He's kind of seated down, and his attention is in something in his lap that he keeps moving back and forth.
Okay, because I don't want to sink this damn thing, I'm gonna try and quietly climb on top and jump down on. Is he right beneath the hatch or slightly off to the side?
Slightly off to the side. Like, consider a two-seater car with a moonroof or a sunroof, whatever you want to.
Oh, okay. Then I'm gonna go on top, jump in, and punch the guy.
Okay. I'm gonna call that you wanted to do it at once, so I'm gonna call that a helping action. So I want you to make. Do you have any kind of stealth or just burglary?
I have better burglary than I have stealth.
Okay. Give me a burglary roll, but you're going to be at a minus one, and then you can make a fighting roll afterwards if you succeed. Okay, two. Let's see how well he does. Let's see if he notices. He's distracted, so no, he doesn't notice you climbing in over the top, and go ahead and pound him.
Woohoo! That's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, really nice. So your hand connects with the breathing apparatus on his head. but your roll is so good that you do think you knocked him out anyway, but your hand hurts. And as you
what's in his hands?
It does actually look like he was reading something. There are some pages, and it's got like a binder in the corner, like a ring pierced through them, and each of the pages are, they're wedged in plastic. Laminated? Yeah, laminator. Yeah, so the pages are laminated.
Clever.
And just as we're doing that, she went below, had opened the hatch, and had come up into the vehicle just as you were pounding him. So she she ends up being in the other side, the other seat of the bubble as you do that. And she mimes pulling the guy out. And
I'll start pulling him out.
Okay. She starts, she grabs the paper he was looking at and some other items and pops out behind you and kind of points to the sea cave ahead of you, and she starts swimming in that direction. All right. And she'll give you a hand dragging the guy. Okay, so you guys. So you guys are heading into the sea cave, dragging this guy behind you, and we're going to cut over to Abel. So Abel, there's screaming going on, and then abruptly the volume of the screaming stops a little bit, as it sounds like one of the unique voices that are screaming just suddenly stop, and then you start hearing the screamings like receding, as if the person talking on the microphone is moving away.
All right, I think it's safe to say this is not normal. This is unusual here.
He kind of looks up at you and why on earth would someone tap into my antenna to make covert broadcasts of screaming?
No, I'm thinking more, there was probably, I don't know. I think we just caught them at a time where there was some sort of argument going on. Maybe it's, there was some sort of internal debate or power play.
Yeah, and, as you're talking clearly over the radio, you catch bits and pieces of something, someone talking, but you do distinctly hear the words, "Marlo, stop."
Right. It seems likely that there was some sort of power struggle, perhaps. You know, that's a problem with any conspiracy or gang, right? There's always people who think they're not getting enough or who want to take over. And either there's been some sort of accident or we've caught them in the middle of some kind of political move that went wrong. That's my best guess.
So Allard is stroking his chin and says, "Wasn't there a Marlowe that's a guest in the house?"
I believe so.
Make a blank face roll.
Okay, I'm going to switch back from you for just a second, Abel. And okay, yes. In the house, the two raving lunatics have been knocked unconscious at Marlowe's feet above you. And you guys, you've got a better look of where they were running from. There's more of the cavern below. Like they were running from further back. But you don't see anything that was chasing.
I was planning on following them up. So when I get up to the door, I was going to say, "Hunter guard's still down there looking around. You may want to go help him. I'll stay up here with these two."
I'm going to head further down here and see what we can find. Something has scared these people into insanity. So.
I was saying that to Marlo.
Yeah, I was thinking, how much do I trust you? Which isn't a whole lot. But yeah, sure, I'll go.
And I was going to start looking over the bodies, checking their pockets, that sort of thing.
Okay. I'll grab a torch and head down there.
All right. Well, first of all, Jerry, the two guys are dressed basically in what a sailor would use if he was not in a professional service. You know, this is a sailor's garb, but not a uniform. So in other words, the bell-bottom pants, the loose shirt. You definitely have the calluses of a man that works a lot with rope.
Fatigues.
Actually, now is the perfect time for us to spout off about our theories. Real quick. Here's what I think's going down.
You don't think you have enough information yet to say anything?
Actually, I think I do.
As in, I haven't told you what I found down there.
Right. No, I'm pretty sure I can spout off what I think is happening.
Go help Thundergard. No time.
We get time. Why don't we have time? Whatever.
Well, Thundergard's still Thundergard's still down there by himself. I think that's kind of what he's pointing out. That's all.
Yeah, but Eh, he has his, my knife. All right, whatever. I'll go. Never mind.
Okay. The other thing that you find is that one of them has a notebook. And if you remember way back to the raid on the farm, you got a bunch of four-digit codes. Looks similar. Yep. It's a book of rows, you know, three rows, and several columns of four-digit numbers.
Yeah, they were call signs or something from memory.
I'm just pointing out that you have seen something similar before, that's all. All right, going down, Hunterguard is sitting there, or standing there in the corridor.
Heading further down the corridor.
Okay. The room that the people were coming through, screaming and trying to get through, is, it looks like it used to be like a medical facility, okay? There are gurneys that are badly rusted. There are some aging medical equipment, also badly, you know, it's been here for a while. It's very old equipment, rusty. There are some cabinets which look like perhaps they were once had bottles of serum or drugs in them, which have been, at this point, there's nothing in there now. But they're opened. Also look like they're rusting out.
Okay. I'm going to see if there's any labels on the bottles.
I'm sorry. There are no bottles left. It's just, you've seen in medical facilities before, these types of cabinets would hold medicines, but there are none in them now.
Okay. Does there look like there'd be anything of note here left, or does it look like this was cleared out?
It looks like it was cleared out, and the stuff that was left is, you know, while it's, the equipment is old, it is rather bulky. It would be hard to move out of here, so it would make sense if someone was in a hurry, they would leave this stuff and take just the medications.
Right.
There is electricity down here. There are lights in the ceiling, although most of them are broken out. There's still just enough to give a flickering, you know, like a nimbus of light around. Really not enough to well light the room, though. Your torch is still brighter. The corridor does go on a bit more to the rear, where there's a set of double doors. It looks like the handles and locks had been broken off, and the doors have been pulled open.
Well, let's just see what has frightened these people so much.
And about this time, Mr. Marlowe will be coming in through your
room. Okay. Can we trace the cabling, the wiring of the lights?
Seems to be in the ceiling itself.
That's unfortunate. Because the power in this island all has to happen by hand. So someone had to hand wire that, or that power is coming from somewhere. So if it's still coming from, okay, here's what I think happened. Is basically they started doing the Nimrod, and they started doing tests with the device, and people started going insane. That's why everything, there were facilities down here, but as people grew more and more irrational, the facility started, of course, suffering wear and tear.
And this facility looks much, much older, okay? Yeah.
That's shocking.
The equipment that's in here and the gurneys, this style has been outdated for a good 20 years or more.
Oh, so this isn't, these things don't have a little layer of rust. They are caked.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, so we discovered the pirate's main base. Beautiful. Okay, so we discovered the pirate's main base, and who's that guy's? Marley. We might discover his father's body down here. Yay, yes.
I think you're being overly optimistic about this.
Oh, yeah. He's.
This is obviously tied with the, at least recently, it's been tied with the whole phasing issue with people.
Yeah.
Perhaps they were seeing if they could harness it in some way.
Yeah, so these people are from the Nimrod, they're using this. That is, that's interesting that they had lights all the way down here back then.
Possible generator, perhaps.
Generator needs somebody to run it.
Yes. Unless, of course, it may be somehow tapped into the... We are assuming, of course, that this is the original. It may be that they've altered it over time. If it is an old base, and then it has been altered to make use of the modern facilities.
It's probably just... Probably when they implanted the new power system in there, they just tapped into the old... They still used the old wiring, and the old wiring still went out here. So... Yes.
And the reason that these are fading is because their filaments, I think that is the system we're using now for our light systems, are burning out.
Yeah, but how old do these filaments go for, Bert? I mean, would it have been feasible that they needed to be changed recently?
Oh, yeah, they would have. If for them to be working at all, they would have had to been changed recently.
How recently would that be?
Do you have any kind of repair at all?
No, I don't.
Just give me a 4 dice roll, just out of just general knowledge.
I've got my scholarship bonus for I may have read that.
That's fine.
Change lights? I get my assistant to do that.
I've got a better because I could have... If I'm allowed to use my scholarship, then I'll have made that by 7.
Oh, yeah, really good. You pull the covers off the lights above, and you can distinctly tell that there are two different types of bulbs in here. The ones that are still somewhat working are a much newer variety, and the ones that are not are a much older variety.
Okay.
Perhaps this was established beforehand by some older ideal, and then this new group decided to use what was already in existence.
Yes, like I said, the original pirate base, so...
Well, shall we continue on? There seems little enough in this area.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if they expected the neurological degeneration to happen for the Nimrod or not. Anyways, let's continue on.
It may be that these people with their latent abilities to transport themselves came back here as a familiar place or somewhere they knew.
Yeah, they
got stuck.
They were probably pretty crazy there in the end, and they just thought that they were...
You guys are... you're talking as you're moving into the double doors that have been opened up, and they have been wedged open. Taking a look at them, you think it's because the hinges have eroded so badly that they won't stay open. So they've just kind of... They've been just, you know, held open in place by some wedges. The wedges are new. You know, they're metal. They haven't got rust on them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And what you walk into is what was probably used to be like a barracks. There are a couple of cots, though, that are... There's 3 cots that are definitely newer. Newer make. They've got fresh bedding on them. There's a table with various electronic gear just kind of spread out. Some of them are lit up. And obvious on the left-hand side is there is a fuse box, right? But the box itself has been stripped open. And you see newer wires have been plugged in. And then there's like this very large cable that's been rammed into the wall next to it, and through the, you know, the little hole's been cut out, and you can see that there's this very large coppery metal thick cable about 1 foot thick that all of these lines have been just kind of rammed into.
What ho? What have we...
3 men, 3 cots.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There was a third gentleman who left through the inexplicable teleportation.
There are also several footlockers that are laying around. One of them's opened up, and inside of it you see basically rations, different tins of food, bags of water.
Are there labels on these tins and rations?
Oh yeah, and you know they're just
language, please.
Different, actually. Some of it's English, some of it's German,
some of it's French.
No French, actually. English and German, primarily.
Okay, so...
And it's stuff that you could buy off of a grocery store shelf anywhere in Metapol.
Let's pop the lock on the other two. New ones.
Is pretty much the same. It's just packed with food, with water, a few medical supplies, nothing big. A couple of needles with, the bottles are marked as being... name escapes me. helps with infections.
penicillin?
Yeah, antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
Yeah. Antibiotics, whatever will be around at the time. Bandages, you know, sterile gauze, some scissors, but mostly food. The third one has guns. Ammo, guns. The guns are of various makes and wear. Some of them look new. Some of them look like they've been well used.
I think perhaps those three men weren't always this insane when they were left here.
Yeah, of course. They were left behind as resupply for the Nimrod. They have the new stuff. They were probably used. I wonder if there's some kind of broadcast system here, because they could have been used to as a middleman for whatever the other guys are doing, transmitting back and forth. And then as time goes on, they weren't expecting the neurological degeneration, so it happens. So they're still infected with the T-rays, and they still have some of the powers. So the Nimrod isn't even obeying anyone's orders anymore. The people are just freaking mental. That is interesting.
Something went wrong? Well, more wrong?
Well, we know the T-rays have a slow neurological, you know, it shows up very slowly, but, you know, you start missing dates, names, people, and
neurological decay.
Yeah, degeneration. I mean, over time, that will happen, and that is fascinating.
Can we find other? Is there anything in here which seems to be more official? Notes, documents?
Oh, well, the large desk that has all this electronic stuff about on it looks like there are several notebooks just kind of laying around.
Okay. I'm going to go through the notebooks.
Sure. There, like I had said, there was a bunch of mechanical things on the table. Some of them were lit up. As you're moving the notes around, your hand brushes against, you know, what looks like a microphone, and you hear a squeak kind of squelching sound.
Oh, that's not good. Are we live?
Quite possibly.
Oh.
Either one of you guys have repair?
No. I've got my makeshift. I've got a huge. I guess I could have a huge negative on my scholarship for I could have read that. I may have read that. I don't have any actual experience with electronics.
I'll give you a -2 then to your roll. Just tell me what you get.
A -2.
Okay, that's a -3. That's a 1. Unless I have my bonus for I may have read that.
No, 1 is a success. I don't ever feel that you've got to have a huge overblowing success. A positive number is good. Just the more positive, the more elegantly you do it. But with a 1, you realize you've just marked. You just knocked over a microphone that was transmitting.
It is activated. Shall I turn it off?
Yeah, turn it off now. Can you have turned it off 5 minutes ago?
You do not have the repair skill, however. So explain
the simple way, though. You grab
turn it off. Like, there are no labels on any of the zillion knobs that are on the set.
The thing I've just knocked over would have the equivalent of a grill or some large component, which is I'll recognize from my having read about this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And grabbing the cables behind it and pulling them out.
Okay, yeah, it's apparently socketed into this fairly large box that's giving off a lot of heat, and the cable just pops out. And I'm going to flash over to Abel!
Aha!
So Kevin and Mr. Allard now is looking very paranoid. What you missed the chat I did to Abel was, is that Hundegaard? So he's kind of backing away from you, Drina. He's now starting to doubt.
Starting to doubt what?
What's going on here? You said that you said you didn't know these guys. That's clearly Hundegaard.
Well, it seems likely that. It seems likely that other people have been sent here on similar leads. I that, let's see, is there any way to find out where the other end of this thing is? I guess, no, there wouldn't be.
Well, they could have tapped into the antenna really anywhere on the island that the loop runs. It runs the complete circumference of the island.
Well, I think what you should keep in mind here is that I realize you've just discovered this, and there's a lot that's going on right now that is probably very frightening to you. I just want you to know, in case we should, if you feel the need to, I have secured a means of leaving the island safely.
Well, we have ships and planes aplenty. I don't understand. I need to secure this island. I need to get the security chief in here. I need to secure this island. We need to find out where this is being broadcast from.
Mr. Allard, I'm afraid you're going to have to, at least for a minute, accept the possibility that your security chief, he may be in on what's going on, or at least aware of it.
Benjamin,
and then it might be.
I can't believe that, Benjamin. He saved my life in the war. We've been friends for years, but even before I offered him this job, I can't believe it. I refuse to believe it. You may be right. I may have people in my staff. Certainly, it seems that there are people in the docks that are part of this organization you're talking of, but I will not believe it of Benjamin. I'm calling
him. All right. Well, fine. Well, you at least, before you call him, well, you at least make some kind of, I don't know, like secure some kind of means to defend yourself?
Okay.
I just submit to you the idea that perhaps things are not as they appear.
He goes over, picks up a little unit off a table, and he starts poking him in some numbers, and some of the mechanical helpers that I had described, they're knee height. They are metal robots that are running on treads, and they come up and they surround Mr. Allard. He pushes a few more buttons, and little panels pop open on the robots, and gun barrels pop out.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to be in this closet over here.
Now, Monsieur Bauer, I'm convinced that you at least have some regard for my safety, and I appreciate you telling me all this. I do not consider you the enemy, but what you've brought to me is problematic. I'm going to call Ben in now, just him. I'll have him meet us down here. I won't tell him anything over a potentially open line. If you'd be so kind as to explain to him what you told me, and perhaps we can work out what we need to do. And about this time, the conversation that's been going on in the background on the radio stops as there's a sudden squeak. And picks up a phone down here, dials in several numbers. It's like, Ben, yes, can you meet me in the secure room? We've got a potential security problem. No, just yourself. Make some excuse to the men. Just tell them. Just tell them I've invited you down for a brandy and a smoke. Don't say anything to anyone else. All right. Thanks. Hangs up. Says he was out on patrol. He should be here in a half hour or so. In the meantime, we need to find out where on the island they are. And he breaks out some tools and starts working on the oscilloscope. He had out earlier. Oh, sweet! you're astounded at how fast Mr. Allard works and how well suited he seems to the tools that he wields. And apparently, in no time at all, he has worked in a way to transmit back through the system. So, you guys in the other room, you hear a clicking sound coming over the glowing box that you've removed the microphone from, and you hear Mr. Allard's voice quite clearly coming through. Hello? Is anyone there?
No, this is an awkward situation. If only we hadn't removed that microphone. If only we had known where
this was going. I just pulled the cable out. I should, if I take a second, I should be able to connect it back in. Do we want to...
Go grab Jerry. Get him down here. He knows.
Jerry walks in the room.
I should have a better chance of putting it together.
No, he doesn't want to come down. That was guilt.
What?
Oh, I thought on the messages here, I thought he was coming down. Jameis, are you coming down?
I'm staying up there for now.
Okay, okay.
I have a better chance of getting this working again. If you... Do we actually want to talk to Herr Allard?
Whoa. Mm. Low.
Yeah, whoever's, we want to talk
whoever's
to him.
Using
okay.
the
I shall see if I can connect this up again.
And I'll go grab Jerry.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you don't really need to roll for it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's a plug. It goes into that hole it came out of.
Herr Allard?
Oh, I shouldn't have gone to grab
Hello? Here. Hello? Hundegard, is that you?
It is indeed. I went over to the old manor house and some strange events are taking place.
What? Old manor house? Night watch? That old shack?
Indeed. There was a facility underneath.
I regret everything.
Okay, I want to be very clear here. Everyone has left the room except for Mr. Hundegard. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I
tell him everything.
Yeah, I regret all my decisions up until this point.
Is she yelling that out? Does Drina yell that out loud?
Yeah, I do.
I'm sorry. What did you yell out? I missed it.
What I said was, he knows everything.
Herr Allard. In which case, I apologize for the deception on my part. It is not normally in my nature.
Mr.
You're doing this just to spite you, Nick. You know this, don't you? It's just to spite you.
Yeah, at this point in time, we've moved beyond sheer.
Mr. Hundegard, I'd like you to give me an alertness roll, please.
Mm-hmm.
Four. Minus.
Well, there's a neutral there, and I think I have an alertness at. Where the hell is my alertness, actually? I have that as a one.
It's a total of a one?
Yes.
Okay, you get just enough warning. Perhaps it's a piece of equipment falling in the way or a slight squeak of a floorboard, but a trap door that you had not noticed earlier is flung open, and a man in a diving suit, the head removed, his torso's come up over the hole, and he's got a spear gun in hand, and he fires at you. We're not taken by surprise, so you can act, but you are one zone from where he is, and he is firing at you. What are you doing?
I'm taking a full defense then.
Okay. Do you have a dodge or anything like that?
That'd be an athletics, wouldn't it?
Let's see.
Didn't think there's an actual dodge skill.
No, athletics.
Yep, you can make an athletics, and if you take a full defense move with it, you're going to have a +2.
Mm-hmm.
And our erstwhile killer is...
Oh, that's actually a 4 there without the full defense then.
Okay, so you've got a 6 total. And yes. He fires! Get it? Ooh! He gets a 6. So you also got a 6?
Yes.
Okay, so what happens is you... I'm going to narrate it just because it's an even there, if you don't mind.
Well, I could throw in an extra point if that would help. But...
It's not going to hurt you. It's up to you. If you want to clearly get out of the way. Otherwise, it's basically what's going to happen is he lets loose of the spear, and you dive just in time, and it catches the end of your suit as you're going down, and it just rips off a corner of your suit.
Yeah, that's fine.
Tails of the wall. And he pops out the rest of the way from the trap door. And it seems to be that he's got a knife, like a diver's knife in one hand, and he seems to be going for something on his hip on the other. What do you do?
I'm taking the knife which Mr. Marlowe gave me. And I am going to attack this man.
Okay, I'm going to pause there. In the seaside cave, Marcus, are you there?
Yeah,
I'm all right. You've just dragged the unconscious man into the cave, just where you've got some dry land. The waves are still lapping in, but it's no longer submerged. You drag him up onto dry land. Your date removes his helmet, checks his pulse to make sure he's still alive, uses some extra string to basically hog tie him on the ground, and rolls him over into the corner so he doesn't drown when the tide comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but notice, you know, after being in this cold water and out running and the already very clingy clothes she was wearing, she cuts a fine, fine form.
I figured that one. Although I'm wondering how much of that form is padded with various items.
She pulls up plastic explosives and a detonator from somewhere you do not know.
She takes the knife into her hand that she had clenched in her teeth, and she looks over to you and says, "Okay, there's at least one in the cave. We need to try and take him alive as well if we can. I don't know where this cave goes. Have you gotten a chance to explore?"
No, I haven't. I've only gotten to explore the upper reaches.
And I assume that by your showing of bucking me off back there that you're able to handle yourself in a fight?
Very easily.
I'm intrigued to see what other forms of combat you're good in. But that can be... wait for another time. Follow me.
I follow.
Okay.
I thought you had a PG rating on this thing.
Hey, it's all implied. All
she's talking about social combat, right?
Okay, she's trying to be quiet about it. She's fairly quiet. You going to try and sneak as well?
Yeah, I'll sneak. I have stealth. And I get a one.
All right. Actually, you do about as good as she does. Being waterlogged and you're dripping all over the place, you are making some kind of sound. Up ahead of you, it's fairly dark. There's just a little bit of light that's coming in. And she pauses for a minute, waits for her night vision to clear out a little bit, and goes forward, one hand against the wall to kind of keep her bearings, tells you to do the same. Up ahead of you, where it was dark... I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right hand, right wall.
Right. As you're continuing to go on a little slower since it's dark now, where there was no light, there suddenly is a square of light in the ceiling above you, and you can kind of see the shadow of a man disappearing through that now open hole in the ceiling.
Time to go. Continue forward.
Okay. Back in the room. We have a combat going on.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Hundergart, I do not believe... Did you have your sword with you?
I don't have my sword, so I don't get a bonus for that, but I do have the knife, which Mr. Marlowe gave me.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. He is also going to try and fend you off with his knife while he reaches for a gun. So he's going to have the minus one to his roll for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see.
So far, okay. I just want to make sure you haven't called out or anything, right? You haven't yelled or...
No, I haven't yelled, but there was the huge thump which I've heard over the radio when I dived to the floor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, wow. I have a weapon. Miserably.
I have weapons of two, so that...
So he sucked. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a two, but I'm going to throw in more on this because I want to make this over quickly.
With a two, I'll tell you this before you decide to spin a chip. He only ended up having a one, especially with his further negative one for two motions. So you would end up, doing box one.
Yes, I would damage him for box one, but I'm going to throw in for two chips.
Mm-hmm.
Question, wouldn't he do box two because it's a knife?
Yes, you are right. It is a knife, plus one.
Right. Okay, I'm going with one. Tired of all this. Mm. All this scheming, plotting, and disrespect for common life. So that's for another two.
Okay.
That brings me up to a four.
Okay. So you'll end up doing a box 4 for him. That would be enough to take him out normally, but he is going to spend a chip. And when they spend a chip for a villain, I will tell you, he has the aspect cold-blooded killer. And he's going to roll
his... I did say I was going to spend 2, though. So my second one, I am spending for ostracized aristocrat for my knowledge of fighting styles. My trading in swashbuckling.
Okay, just tell me what your total is while I re-roll.
That will be a 6 then.
Okay, so he's actually did a little bit better. So 3, 4, so 3. Your total is 6. He ends up with a 3 plus 1 for the knife. It's still going to take a box 4. So if you're happy with your roll, I'm going to have him take a consequence. You now have, I'm going to say you have wounded. As he was sticking his knife out to try and defend against you while he pulls out his gun, he poorly times it, and you slice deeply into his hand, and he has to drop his knife, and he's bleeding from his left arm. Mm-hmm. You can tap that in a future movement, but he does have his gun out as his second move.
Mm-hmm.
Can't fire as well, but he does have his gun out.
Okay, so next session. I mean, next round.
Meanwhile, downstairs, or below, you guys hear... you hear the sound of something heavy hitting the flooring above you there. You guys are still kind of in the dark, except for seeing that square of light above you. You hear the twang and something heavy inside striking wood. What are you doing?
I whisper, move faster.
All right. She's going to attempt to find and climb the ladder that's here. Let's see if she's...
I'll do the same right after her.
Yes, she manages to find the ladder. And motions you over, and she says, handsome guys first.
I go up first.
Okay, Underguard, what are you doing?
I'm going for my second attack. I'm going to see if I can disable this man somehow.
Okay, he's going to shoot you in the face.
Nice.
On my attack roll, that's a 4. I am also tapping my free tap on him for his wounded arm, so that's a 6.
Okay, he ends up with a 5. And you're still using your knife, I take it?
Yes.
Okay, so he is going to take...
Well, I got a 6 anyway with my tap of his aspect, so with the knife, that'll be a 7.
Right, and he got a 1, 2, 3, and he got a 5. So you have a total of 7. So
box 2.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And up out of the floor pop.
Right. So yes, he shoots, and his bullet just whizzes by your ear. And
I duck under his arm and dart in a quick slash across his other wrist.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
All right, and Bishop, your head pops up just in time to see this happens. Guys upstairs, give me an alertness roll to hear a gunshot being fired below.
Oh, wait, is the door open or closed?
Holy crap.
7. The trap door is open that you're coming through, Bishop.
I meant their door.
Oh, it's still open, I think.
Nope, don't hear a thing.
What did you get up of the positive or no positive number there?
I got a 7.
You definitely heard a gunshot.
James?
Jerry?
I got a alertness of 2.
Okay.
Gunfire.
So you both heard.
You ready?
Yeah, if you got a positive number, you both heard gunfire down below.
All right. Quickly and quietly.
Bishop, so you pop up just to see this happen. You're still half in, half on the ladder, half... up here, so if you want to take a full action to get out, that's fine. If you want to get out and do something, it'll be a -1 as a
okay.
Actions.
I'll get out and punch the guy with the gun.
Sure. Let me give him an alertness roll to see if he noticed you coming up behind. And, yes, he actually does. Okay.
Doesn't bother me.
Whoa, but there are two of you on one. So, Mr. Hundegard, I assume you're still fighting for your life?
Yes,
and Bishop, you're punching him in the head?
Yeah, and I rolled a 1 for that punching in the head.
Okay. You both get a +1 to your rolls.
I'm trying to knock him out, not kill him.
Okay. That's always up to you. I mean, it doesn't matter how much insanely you go over. If you say, I don't want to kill him, then he's not dead. He's just out, okay?
Yeah. I'm saying this because of the guy with the knife who may be going to kill him.
Yes, Abel, you were hearing all of this in the background. Gunshots.
Excellent.
Okay, so...
Copious swearing.
He sees that there are two of you.
Plus one each.
Each of you guys get a plus one to your roll. What he's going to do... Let's see. Hunterguard, you're between him and the way he knows is out. He could go back down. No, he's going back down. Bishop, he's going to shoot you in the head and try to drop down through the hole.
Okay, can he beat a six?
We'll find out. No, he can't. Did end up with a five, though.
Actually, you know what? Well, kind word and a gun. You get further with a kind word and a gun than with just a kind word alone.
But do you actually have a gun in your hand?
Oh, damn it, you're right. Yeah. He does. He has a gun in his hand.
Yeah, no. That's more of an intimidating
Always complete his end of a deal. There. That gives me eight. Because I'm made a deal with her.
Yeah, that's fine.
Alive.
So your total is eight?
Yes, I beat him by three.
And you're punching him, right?
Yeah, I'm knocking him out, decking the guy.
Well, yeah, that would end up being box four anyway, which is more than he can take. So he's now going to take a... Let's see. He's going to take a severe consequence because he wants to keep going. And what I'm going to say happens.
Actually, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I forgot. I haven't tagged his other aspect either, so I have a 10.
Which other aspect?
The leading wrist. I never tagged that one yet, so okay,
Hold on. When he blooded his arm in the first place, that free tag has already been used, so you have to spend a chip.
I thought it was each person got a tag on it.
No. First person to use it gets a free tag. After that, you have to spend a chip.
Oh, okay.
Which you can.
Then I'll spend a chip. I'll spend a chip and get to 10.
Okay, and he can't absorb that. So, down he goes.
And I make sure the knife guy doesn't get him.
All right.
Thank you for your assistance, Mr.
Bishop. Your companion is pushing you out of the way as she comes up. Knife beard. Mr. Hunterguard,
Don't hurt him.
Mr. Hunterguard, you say a vision of blonde loveliness ringing wet, holding a knife, looking...
My word, what a strange gathering we all are. Right.
On the other end, you hear Mr. Allard going... Hunterguard, what's going on? What's happening? What's going on?
Okay. Bishop, tend to this man. I must talk to Herr Allard. Excuse me, Fraulein. It is the tennis player, is it not? Sorry, I must get back to this call.
Are you guys running downstairs after you heard the gunshots, or at this point, a couple of gunshots?
quickly but quietly.
Okay.
While Hunterguard has his back to her, I kind of pantomime silence and kind of do like a and point at Hunterguard who has his back to us and shrug.
So you're just pointing at me and shrugging, or... I thought you were going to do the whole little turning circles around your head thing to see if he's crazy.
No, I did a do we silence him motion. Because he just revealed who we were.
Okay.
You don't need villains, Bert. The PCs will kill each other.
Yeah.
Good enough. Right. Okay, so, Mr. Marlowe wants to be sneaking down. Give me a sneaky, sneaky roll. Jerry, what are you doing after you hear a couple of gunshots from below?
I'll be following Marlowe, but not quite as quickly.
And Marlowe, what is your roll for your sneaky, sneaky?
Six.
Six. Nope. Oh, very good. Yes, you're very sneaky. Okay. I'm going to say then that you you see the scene just as it finishes up. Bishop has just clobbered the guy. The tennis pro has just popped up from the hole from behind Bishop holding a knife. After she sees the guy go down. Go ahead and give me an alertness roll, Bishop, just to see if you notice someone lurking in the hallway. The girl does not. Underguard, give me a roll, too.
Oh, 2, 3, 4, 5.
My alertness, that's a 3.
I made it exactly! I made it exactly!
Actually, no, that's a 2, sorry. I have a 2.
You have to beat what he rolled on his stealth, so...
Did you hear that? Alertness, did you hear that? +2.
That's more for specifically hearing.
Yeah, he could have heard a footfall, you tripping, whatever. If he wants to blow the chip just to know you're there, he can. I mean,
No, it's not a chip. It's the specialization.
Oh, yeah. I'll allow it because you could have like stepped on something that cracked or.
Okay, now that's a. And.
Is there an echo?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, hold on. Let me pause.
It's
pausing.
Can anyone else?
Well, that's because Bert was paused on hold.
Okay, is that any better? Give it a moment.
Mm-hmm. It is indeed.
Actually, yeah, if then in that case, I'd like to blow shadowing for +2.
Okay.
Wait, you're really doing...
Yeah, I don't want to be seen. I have no idea what's going on here.
Okay. We'll leave it at that then. And so you see the scene playing out. I'm going to say you saw the last few seconds of what's going on down here. So they're just at the point where Hundegaard's picked up the microphone and is responding back. You're lurking in the shadows. And may we go ahead and take a break here? This is the 2-hour point.
You?
No.
GM must be.
Me need coffee, although I'm out of coffee, so I'll have to be tea.